Thank you, Matt and Matt. Today we are halfway through this series that I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit. I have enjoyed preparing and studying, and I have learned myself much about the Spirit, and there's still so much I long to know. Paul wrote these words in Titus, a little book that gets lost in the end of the New Testament. I want you to hear Paul's words, Titus chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, beginning in verse 4 through verse 7. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us graciously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. By the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out generously on us. Last week, we saw that the Holy Spirit in the life of an unbeliever convicts an unbeliever of lostness. And that Spirit then convinces this unbeliever that they need God and they need to accept the salvation of God. And so after that acceptance, is that it? Is the Holy Spirit finished the work that God wanted Him to accomplish by convicting and convincing? No, indeed. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is just beginning. It's just the genesis of the work of the Holy Spirit. For now the Holy Spirit moves into the life of the believer. And I want to share four wonderful truths for you as believers, as you watch in your home or as we're here today. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been convicted, you've been convinced, you've been overwhelmed by His grace. Hear these truths. Here's the first. The Holy Spirit longs to enrich your life. After accepting that grace gift of God, the Holy Spirit is in you. He now dwells within you. And you begin to experience what Jesus said, I've come that you might have life abundant. Abundant life. How does the Holy Spirit enrich your life? Well, first He gives you gifts. As a believer, now you need to come back in 3 weeks. I'm going to preach more about spiritual gifts. But Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, to each one, each believer, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, the Holy Spirit imparts to every believer the ability to do works of God, a spiritual gift. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given a spiritual gift. And as we develop these gifts, and as we dedicate these gifts to God, these gifts then enrich us. That's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit enriches us, is He gives us gifts. Come back July 28th. We'll look at the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit also enriches our life by producing certain spiritual fruit in our life. Next Sunday, we'll look at Galatians 5. You know the passage, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. Next week, I'll say it again, but fruit is singular. When Paul wrote to those in Galatians, fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, it's singular, it's not plural, meaning that the Holy Spirit imparts to you not one aspect, but all the fruit, all of it, in the life of every believer. And that'll give you something to think about all week long, next week, Come back, Galatians chapter 5. And I think the Holy Spirit also enriches believers by developing you toward Christ-likeness. When we become believers, we have this old nature. But our old sinful fleshy nature, it just isn't automatically destroyed. We're given a new nature. That's what Paul was writing to Titus about. We're given a new nature. But our new nature works right next to our old sinful nature. As a matter of fact, I think those natures struggle. They do in my life. It's a constant struggle, a tension. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7. The new nature of the Holy Spirit, the new nature leads us and molds us to be more like Christ. The new nature, the Holy Spirit enriches us and molds us and makes us to be more like Jesus. And that leads us then to this abundant life that Jesus spoke about in John 14. I've come that you might have abundant life, and the Holy Spirit is enriching your life with this new nature. Not only does the Holy Spirit enrich your life, I think the Holy Spirit also longs to enlighten your mind. I keep going back to John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Those passages where Jesus, what was reflecting to his apostles, he wanted them to learn so much. Listen to what Jesus said and John recorded. John chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit longs to enlighten your mind. One of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is the teaching ministry. The Holy Spirit, who lives within you, longs to teach you, and he does it all the time. Now think about it. When you're in a difficult situation, when you come face to face in a difficult situation of life, it's the Holy Spirit that guides you, the Holy Spirit that teaches you in the midst of that situation, guiding you to make the proper decision. Or maybe when you find yourself on your knees in prayer, you find yourself totally face down. It's the Holy Spirit that voices that prayer when you don't even have words. When words are totally gone, you don't know how to pray or what to say. It's the Holy Spirit in you that voices the prayer for you to God. And when you come to God's Word, you're reading Scripture, and you come to a passage, and you want to understand. God, I want to understand so I can live and do. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within you, longing to enlighten you that you might be able to grasp God's Word in Scripture and make it your own word and then seek to live it. The Holy Spirit teaches believers day by day as you walk with Him. Ultimate spiritual truth will not be found in memorizing spiritual facts, spiritual lists. No, it's found with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you allow that Holy Spirit to dwell in you, that Spirit faces every experience that you experience. The Holy Spirit confronts every decision that confronts you, and the Spirit shows you the way forward. The Holy Spirit longs to enlighten your mind as a believer. He enriches your life. He enlightens your mind. And he longs to encourage your heart. Again, I reflect back to John 14, 15, and 16. A word I shared last week or the week before, that word paraclete, the Greek word for Holy Spirit, the one who comes along side of. Life gets tough, doesn't it? Sometimes life is really tough. And here's a promise. A promise that we can take hold of, that whenever you are down and discouraged, depressed, and even defeated, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is not just there with us. The Holy Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit doesn't just come alongside of us. He is within us. Oh, that changes it all, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is there to console us, to fill us with courage, to keep us going. The Holy Spirit longs to encourage your heart. We need that, don't we? Oh, my. I shared with the children, COVID, if you're like me, and maybe you're not, I'm here at one part of the day and here the next part of the day. And I start here and think, we've got this, and then I'm down. And I do wonder, when will we all be together? I do wonder about school, and I see those numbers globally of all those deaths. Life has ended just like. Families who are under such turmoil and such sorrow, and those who have died alone. I look at our medical care professionals. David Hearn sitting right here working down in Houston every day in the hospitals, and other caregivers, Mary King and others here locally, who every day, I see our chief of police that every day works around our community, and you never know when you will be infected. And yes, we wear masks and we try to do right. It is overwhelming. It is overwhelming. It is at times depressing, discouraging. You can feel defeated, but deep within, that Holy Spirit is there to encourage. Not some makeup false belief, not some fickle hope, but the hope of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. As believers, the world needs to see that in us. As believers, yes, we still get COVID. Yes, we still have sorrow. Yes, we can even feel defeated. But as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit within us, we should be and can be encouraged in the midst of it all. In us, alongside of us, with us. The Holy Spirit encourages. And yes, the Holy Spirit longs to empower as well. Dr. Wayne Ward, many years a New Testament scholar at Southern Seminary in Louisville. Dr. Ward led a group to the Holy Land many, many different times. And in 1989, Aria and I went with Dr. Ward and others to the Holy Land. Wayne Ward has written a book on the Holy Spirit, and in the book, he says Jesus predicted it, the disciples portrayed it, and Paul proclaimed it. What he's talking about was the it being the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus predicted, before he ever ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Spirit of God comes upon you." He predicted that in Acts 1:8. Luke recorded it. And then the disciples, they didn't predict it, they portrayed it after Pentecost. Again, Luke writing in Acts chapter 4, "And when they had prayed, the place they had been gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness and power." And Paul himself proclaimed it many times. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul said, you are strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. That word power is the word dunamis, which is dynamite. Power. The power comes from the Spirit of God. Listen, this is big. When you study the history of the church, when you study the history of Christianity, you will discover that every time when lives were changed and where churches were started, whenever the lost were saved, when believers were used of God, it was always because of a great, mighty movement of the Spirit. You began to read history of the great awakenings that happened in Europe and the great awakenings, spiritual awakenings that happened in this nation. It was always a movement of the Holy Spirit of God, the power. Think about your own life. Isn't that true in your life? Those moments of real power, spiritual power in your life, it came at those times when you waited on God. Came when you yielded your own self and your own desires and you were controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. You denied your flesh and you let God's Spirit have control. The Holy Spirit longs to empower you. Even today, on a July Sunday morning, when all around the world feels chaotic, that Spirit in you longs to empower you and for you to know the experience of that power. It was a second grade class at a small Episcopal school. And the teacher, Mrs. Smith, wanted her class to learn the Apostles' Creed. The teacher decided the best way to do this was to take the Apostles' Creed and divide it into 12 parts. That worked really well because in this class there were 12 students. And so each week a different student got a different part of the Apostles' Creed. Right after lunch, every day, the teacher would say, and now we will say the Apostles' Creed. Boom! Number one would start by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Number two would stand up, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Number three, he was conceived of the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. On it went. Every day, all 12 students saying the Apostles' Creed. And then on Monday, they would get a different. Number two would become number six, and number eight would be number one, and number 12 would be number four. And in the year, the kids knew that Apostles' Creed every single line. Well, on this particular day, it was a normal day. Things were normal. They had gone to lunch. As they came back to the classroom, the students all put their lunch boxes in their spot, and they were getting back. And the teacher never even looked up. She was at the blackboard. Kids say, what in the world is a blackboard? She was up there writing, and she said, Apostles' Creed. Boom, the first one jumped up. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Number two, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Number three, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified. On they went. They got to number eight, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And there was silence. The teacher turned around, and before she could say anything, little Mary said, the Holy Spirit is missing. And Johnny said, no, he's not. He's in the bathroom. Well, I hope for you today the Holy Spirit is not missing or that he's not in the bathroom. I hope you're not missing the greatest benefit of being a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives. Whether you're watching or whether you're here, that Holy Spirit lives within you as a believer today. That Holy Spirit longs to enrich your life. with gifts, with fruit, with Christ-likeness. That Holy Spirit longs to enlighten your mind. And yes, to encourage your heart and to empower your spirit. Will you allow Him? Will you allow the experience of the Holy Spirit to be more than just something you read in Scripture? Will you allow that Holy Spirit to truly be that person of Christ in your life? The Holy Spirit didn't finish with you when He convicted you and convinced you. He was just beginning the wonderful work. Thank God, the Father, Creator, Maker of heaven and earth, who knew we needed the person of Jesus Christ to atone and redeem our sin. And when Christ ascended, He sent the Spirit with us forever and ever. Amen. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, there is so much about the Holy Spirit we don't understand. I guess it's easy for us to picture a creator because we look at creation and we think that only a God could make that happen. And we read in the Gospels of Jesus Christ and we've experienced that atoning shed blood of Christ. And we know that history speaks of Him, but the Spirit who lives within us, enriches us that we experience abundant life that Jesus promised. And He enlightens us and He encourages us and He empowers us. Oh, thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. I'm glad He's not missing or in the restroom. Christ in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.